This morning we continue our study in the book of Hosea. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 1. We're going to focus our attention on Hosea 1 verses 8 through chapter 2 verse 1, and then skipping down to chapter 2 verses 21 through 23. Again, we're going to begin with Hosea chapter 1 verse 8. When she had weaned no mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sisters you have received mercy. Skipping down now to chapter 2, verse 21. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord, I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall all answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say to not my people, you are my people, and he shall say, you are my God. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. Father, help us now to understand your word. We thank you for your inspired word, which speaks to us, gives us your thoughts accurately and truly, that the prophet Hosea spoke without error because he was inspired by your spirit. We pray that that same spirit would help us now to understand your word, to grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is presented here for us in our text. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, this morning we are focusing our attention once again on the name of one of Hosea's children. In previous weeks, we have considered the implication of what the Lord was declaring to his people Israel with the names Jezreel and Lo Ruhamah, or No Mercy. These names were signs of covenant curses that the Lord was bringing upon his people for their sins against him. Jezreel, God scatters, removing the people from the land. Lo Ruhamah, no mercy. The Lord will not hold back his judgment with the coming of the Assyrian invasion. But beloved church, even with these warnings, Israel refuses to hear. She refused to believe God's word and to repent. And again, think about the sign God was giving, the public scandal of the prophet and his whore of a wife. Think about the names of the children. Surely the scandal was too juicy for the events in the life of this man of God not to be known. And then think about the names themselves. What shocking names. Who names their son Jezreel, meaning God scatters? And what father names a precious little girl no compassion or no mercy? Lo Ruhamah. Surely word had gotten around Israel about Hosea's family and the message from the Lord. But beloved, would they repent? Did Israel believe this word? Obviously not. She heard the word Jezreel, a play on the name Israel, but she did not turn back to the Lord. She heard the word Lo Ruhamah, but she would not repent and seek the Lord's mercy. And think about this. It's not as though she did not have time. There are years between these signs. Indeed, this is hinted at in our text in verse 8, when she, that is Gomer, leaned Lo Ruhamah, no mercy, she conceived and bore a son. Now, Gomer could not conceive until after she had weaned her child, which in the ancient Near East was often when the child was 2 or 3 years old. They had time. They had time between Jezreel and Lo Ruhamah, but they would not repent. And so the Lord intensifies the name of judgment from Jezreel to Lo Ruhamah. They had time to repent after the birth and weaning of Lo Ruhamah, but again, Israel would not repent. And so now in our text before us, God speaks a final and most horrific word through the name of a son, Lo Ami, not my people. You are not my people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must appreciate just how horrible, a terrible name this really is. This is covenant curse at its worst. Not my people must be understood at striking at the very heart of what made Israel special. After all, think about this. Who was Israel? What makes Israel unique? Well, brothers and sisters, what made Israel so significant is not that she was a powerful and productive empire like many of the ancient empires of the world that we know so much about. She was not an empire on the scale of the Babylonian Empire, or the Greek Empire, or the Roman Empire, or some of the other renowned empires of the world. You see, as a country, in and of herself, she was nothing. In Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord declares, "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples." If that's the case, why is Israel special? Why did the Lord set his affection on her? Well, beloved, she was special because the Lord had chosen her and had set his love upon her. We read this in Deuteronomy 7:8. "But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." The Lord had determined to show his love, his compassion on Israel for his own sake, simply because he chose to do it. And what an honor that was. I mean, consider what that meant for Israel. When Israel suffered in Egypt under Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the Lord named these very people as his own. The Lord tells Moses in Exodus 4, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn." That's verse 22. "And I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son." Did you hear what the Lord said? What he called Israel? "Israel is my son." Whose son? The Lord's son. And in Exodus 6:7, the Lord declares that these people, Israel, are his own when he says, "I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." And then in Leviticus 26:12, the Lord says to Israel, "And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people." Brothers and sisters, who of all people have had this great privilege since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden? But think about this. This language of privilege goes even further. We consider Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 3. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples, in exchange for your life." Could there be a greater honor for a people than this, dear church? Loved, cherished, protected, redeemed, named by God himself with the name "my people." Could there be greater privilege? And so, my dear friends, it is with great horror that we hear the Lord declare, "Lo a me, not my people." What's happening then with this name and with this curse? All that had made Israel special is here undermined and refuted. All that had made Israel distinct from the wicked nations around her was here negated. "These are not my people anymore. They are no better than the nations that surround them. I am not their God, and they are not my people." That, beloved church, is covenant curse. For Israel to hear the name of this son, "Lo Ami," was to hear from God the curse of covenant divorce. And yet, brothers and sisters, this word of judgment is not the final word. And it's important to see this in our text. This word of curse, "not my people," is not the final word. There is indeed a great reversal. Israel, God's son, failed to keep the covenant, but God promised that one day the curse of "not my people" would be reversed, and one day God would call this people "my people" and "children of the living God." And though Israel has so sinned against God that he declares, "You are not my people and I am not your God," Israel would once again one day be "my son." Israel would be "my people." And this would come through the one the Lord called "my son." the covenant curse of not my people, lo ami, would come to be reversed through the one to whom the Father says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This Son, the true and faithful Israel, would be the one who would reconcile a sinful, rebellious people to God. He would endure the agony of the curse, not my people, not my Son, so that his people could be blessed. He would endure all of the curses of God due to the sins of his people for their breaking of the covenant in order to establish a new covenant. He was the Son given in the place of peoples, so that his people could be redeemed by God. And you see, brothers and sisters, Israel in her own strength could not keep God's covenant, and so she suffers covenant curse. She reminds us that all descending from Adam by ordinary generation have inherited the guilt of his original sin, the corruption of our human nature, and the actual sins that proceed from this corruption. Israel reminds us of the fall of Adam into sin back in the Garden of Eden, and the covenant curse of exile from God. And she, by herself, reminds us that the wages of sin is death. But God reminds us, beloved, God reminds us from his promise of my people that God himself will raise up a people to be his own, not by might, not by power, but by the operation of his Spirit through his Son, faithful Israel, Jesus Christ. The Lord fulfills his promise by pouring out his covenant wrath and curse upon Jesus, his Son, on the cross, in order to raise up this same Jesus from the dead in resurrection life and call all who believe in him, all who receive and rest in him, children of God. This is exactly what's being pictured for us in the language of Hosea 1:10 through 11. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, a form of death, it shall be said to them, children of the living God, a picture, beloved, of the resurrection. The Lord then says through Hosea, and the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head. And when that head comes, that head being Christ, those who are not my people will be called my people. But now notice something else in that quote. Note the coming unity of the people of God. What had been divided, namely the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah respectively, shall be united. But beloved, there is more to this unity than merely the unity of Israel as a kingdom in terms of Old Covenant idiom. Something else is anticipated here, but it's in shadow form. There is indeed a mystery in our text that is later unveiled when we come to the New Testament. There is a deeper unity and depth to this Israel to come. And again, brothers and sisters, consider the tragedy with ethnic Israel in the New Covenant period. We think as we go forward, we come into the Gospels and we see the way Israel responds to Jesus. The majority of Jews, especially the leadership of the Jews, in spite of their privileged position in the history of redemption, continued to resist God. And so many, as the Apostle Paul laments in the book of Romans, particularly chapters 9 through 11, so many Jews refused to believe God and sought a righteousness through their own keeping of the law. To them, who are ethnically the offspring of Abraham, but spiritually are really of this world, God continues to say, not my people. But as we noted last week, beloved, God has a purpose in this. And this purpose is deep and profound and mysterious. Ethnic Israel has experienced and continues to experience a partial hardening. And so many Jews refuse to believe in Jesus. But this hardening of ethnic Israel is designed by God to bring the gospel to the nations, the Gentiles, Gentile inclusion in the people of God. This partial hardening is designed by God to bring the gospel to you and to me, beloved church, you who are Gentiles. We read this in Romans 11:31-32. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This hardening serves the purpose of bringing the gospel to the nations, so that those who are not my people I will call my people, and her who is not beloved I will call beloved. And in the very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. The Apostle John in John chapter 1 verse 12 declares to us upon what basis a person may be called a son of the living God. John says this, "But to all who did receive him, that is Jesus Christ, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Beloved Church of Jesus Christ, this is God's grace and mercy to us in Christ. This is a gift given by grace alone, received by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And let us always remember that we believe and have been received by God on the basis of His grace and mercy, not on the basis of our merits. We did not earn this. We have nothing to boast about in all of this. This is a free gift. We are His people, true spiritual Israel, only on the basis of His gracious, sovereign choice. Think about it this way. Remember what we just said earlier about why God chose Israel? They were not the greatest. He just chose them because He chose them and He loved them. Well, Paul reminds the Corinthians, who are acting far too much like Old Covenant Israel in her sinful condition, he reminds her of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise." This is chapter 1, verse 26. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us with the wisdom of God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." We, beloved church, may boast, but not in ourselves. We boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were chosen to be blessed by God because God chose us. What makes us special is that we have been loved by God in Christ Jesus, called according to His name. We are God's people by His grace. I close with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let us remember God's grace to us, and let us show the same grace to one another, remembering that our boast is in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for your word, which reminds us of the goodness of your grace to us in Christ. Reminds us, Father, of your sovereign choice, that we are not saved by our works, but by your grace. And we thank you as we read through Hosea. We are warned against sin. We are warned against presumption. But we are also reminded of your faithfulness to your promise. We are reminded of your mercy to us in Christ. And so we thank you, and we rejoice in the good news of the gospel. Help us to understand the gospel. Help us to grow in our faith in Jesus and bear the fruit of faith, even love, love for you and love for one another. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.